Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally on the program tonight, markets and company news. I'm in conversation with Chantal Marx from FNB Wealth and Investments. Chantal, good evening. Let's start with the economy if we can. Expanding modestly in the fourth quarter by 0.6% in the 3 months through to December. But perhaps the more important figure is growth for the full year last year, 0.6% compared with 0.7% in 2023. All of this is hardly moving the needle.
No, absolutely. It is not moving the needle at all. I think when we look at what will actually move the needle, it's about 3% growth. We can only expect that if we see continued progress on the structural reform story and perhaps some stability in the global economy. Because I think what we've been seeing lately is kind of uneven growth. We are very dependent on what happens in China, and Chinese growth hasn't been as strong as we would like to see it. And then there's also a lot of chaos out there.
When you talk about chaos, are you talking beyond the borders, or are you talking about in South Africa, or I guess a combination of both?
Well, I think more recently it's become the external environment that's really worrying us from a growth perspective. Because if you look at some of the policy decisions that are being made in the US right now, it doesn't really inspire kind of level sentiment that we require to actually see investment and growth ultimately. I think there are some external factors that will certainly help global economic growth, like the AI thematic continuing to gain traction. But even there's a lot of uncertainty over whether or not the expenditure there is actually going to result in the outcomes that these guys are looking for. Locally, I think that we are moving in the right direction from a structural reform perspective, but we're a small open economy, so we're very dependent on what happens outside of our borders.
So Chantal, critical, and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but on Wednesday the 12th, we get a clearer indication from the finance minister in the budget for his plans to support further growth. And that's what investors are going to be looking out for.
Yes, so I think that we're going to look forward to any sort of pro-growth expenditure that comes through there. And then importantly, we need to also understand how we're going to fund it. If the 2% VAT increase is off the table, what are we going to move around in order to fund this growth that we really need in this country in order to resolve some of the issues that we've been facing for the last decade or so? Because we need that budget to be credible. We need to still move towards fiscal consolidation because we still need external parties to buy our debt.
All right, a raft of company results out yesterday and today. Let's work our way through a couple of them. Let's start with brands that really impact our listeners' lives. And the first is ShopRite, profit climbing 14%. It's paced by rising demand in South Africa, which is a good thing. Very quickly, operating profit climbing 14%, 7.4 billion rand. Revenue up 9.4 to 131 billion. Interestingly, though, the share price today down by over 1%.
Yes, so what we've seen over the last few years with ShopRite is that they've absolutely smashed investor expectations every time they release results. And this result was actually slightly lower than anticipated, even though they were still quite upbeat around the second half of their financial year, which only ends in June. So I think the fact that we had a small miss and perhaps they're only going to meet expectations this year disappointed the market a little bit. The stock also isn't cheap. I mean, it has done very well for shareholders over the last year or so. So I guess just a bit of profit taking on the back of them only meeting expectations.
There were full year results for Nedbank out today. This is under the new chief executive officer, Jason Quinn, an 11% increase in diluted headline earnings per share. He says all due to good non-interest revenue growth and perhaps more importantly, market share gains in key banking segments. This is not too shabby.
No, not at all, because net interest income, which is usually the bigger driver of growth, really moving absolutely nowhere because we've seen some interest rate cuts coming through. So it was very important for non-interest revenue growth to be strong, and that was very strong. We saw really solid growth out of insurance, the insurance business, as well as the trading business, notably in bonds, in the fixed trading securities business. And then another thing that helped them was that their credit impairments were lower. That means that they expect to have a better credit experience from consumers over the next year. And that just really is a function of lower interest rates, as well as the expectation that we could see a better growth outlook this year.
On my screen at the moment, I've got gold bullion up by 0.8%, well above $2,900 an ounce. As a result of that, Harmony declaring a record interim dividend. This gold rally continues to ride.
Yes, so that is a function of uncertainty as well. It's a function of the geopolitics of the time. We have central banks buying up gold. And now we're having retail investors also becoming interested in owning gold. So we're seeing some good exchange-traded fund flows as well. But all of this results in a very high gold price. And at a very high gold price, the likes of a Harmony Gold is printing cash because they are able to take it out of the ground and sell it at a much lower cost per ounce than where the gold price is currently. So they delivered very, very strong free cash flow. And that means that they had the ability to declare a really solid dividend. The market really liked it. It was well guided for, though. So the share price reaction today wouldn't have been too big.
And Chantal, better to be in gold these days than in fish. Sea Harvest reporting a 45% decline in full-year headline earnings. The issue here is one weakness in the global seafood market. But all of this is predicated on the catch, as they say in the industry. And there's been a historically low hake catch over the past 12 months.
Yes, so fishing is an incredibly volatile industry, and you can go and look at the results of I&J through the years, and even Oceana to a certain extent. You are so dependent on what the weather allows you to do. You are so dependent in migration patterns for the species that you're looking to catch, and some years are just worse than others. And if you have a bad catch year, and that's coupled with weak pricing, it really is bad for profitability, and at times these companies can even show a loss. So I think Sea Harvest actually did okay if you consider the external environment that they're trading in currently, and the share price didn't really react to the results, so I don't think that there were any other major surprises in the print.
And Chantal, just finally, did I see some numbers out from Discovery today?
Yes, so Discovery posted a 34% jump in their profit, or normalized profit up 27%, which was a very strong beat relative to pre-guidance consensus. So they did pre-guide this, and that's also why we're seeing the share up around 1.5% today, because the big market move has already happened. But basically what happened with them is they just exited a massive investment cycle where they built out the Discovery Bank as well as Discovery Invest and Insure, and these things are starting to tick along nicely. So that's really helped them boost their profitability. We've also seen lower losses from the Discovery Bank. And all of that has resulted in this really big beat relative to consensus expectations.
So there we go. We've discovered, or should I say, we have covered fish, gold and groceries. My thanks to Chantal Marx from FNB Wealth and Investments. We'll talk to you again soon. And thanks for the insight.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with MoneyWeb.